Today on the show, we discuss money, power, and the cost of good intentions. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Lawrence.
And I'm Connor.
And today is a very special day.
Indeed. It's our first Spider-Man episode together.
Yes.
It's great. We're on the superhero trip right now. Just did Infamous, and here we are on the Spider-Man trip.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, the season of superheroes. And you know also is awesome about this episode? I was thinking about this earlier. This is the second Spider-Man episode.
That's right.
This is Spider-Man 2.
The best one.
Yes. And it's even better because part of what we're going to be talking about today is Otto Octavius.
Oh, man. It's all coming full circle.
Yes. I'm secretly on, Team Rami, Rami Gang. Gang, gang, gang.
That's right. I'm with you. It's actually, this is a great opportunity for me to reveal our secret special guest, Sam Raimi himself, on the show to discuss Dr. Octavius, his representation in different movies and games. It took a lot of doing to hide this from you, but surprise, Lawrence. Happy birthday. We're having Sam Raimi on the show. No, that'd be awesome. But no, we are, in fact, here to talk about Doc Ock. You know, one of the most iconic Spider-Man villains, but also another very influential figure in the fiction, Norman Osborn, and kind of how they appeared in the new PS4 Spider-Man game as kind of like interesting mirror images of each other, you could say.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I think like their portrayal overall in this game was a lot different than what we've normally seen, at least for Otto. Norman is always kind of an asshat, but...
Yeah,
they had.
It was like the subtleties that you have seen in their characters throughout the comics or the movies. Some of those subtleties have been there, but in the game, I think they were played up to a really cool degree. Like you saw a lot of the dimensions of both characters and kind of how they sort of danced around each other, sort of were similar to each other, and kind of were on similar paths to each other, but ultimately. That relationship became very hostile in a very interesting way.
Yeah, definitely. And so we kind of want to explore that today in today's episode. And, while doing some research, there was a good quote that I came upon. And I think, I don't know why, I had a quote in the last episode with a boo. I'm having a quote in this episode, too.
Yeah, a bit of a tradition. That's cool.
So the quote is from Plato, and it's the excessive increase of anything causes a reaction in the opposite direction.
Deep. But yes. Keep that in mind as we discuss Norman Osborn and Otto Octavius. I think there's some really neat parallels between what, Plato observes there and what we see in these characters in the PS4 Spider-Man game.
Yes, cool. It was like Plato got an advanced copy of the game.
He got the review copy. He streamed it. He streamed it on his stone tablet for everyone to see.
Oh, man. So to kick it off, I think what we'll do is we just want to kind of give a quick background of both characters in the game for those who aren't quite familiar with it. So,
yeah, starting off with the man himself, Norman Osborn, played by the irreplaceable Willem Dafoe in the, the legendary Sam Raimi movies. Norman Osborn, in all the comic sources, he's usually, well, at least most of them, he's represented as the CEO of a multinational conglomerate called Oscorp, one of those mega corporations. He's kind of a researcher, but also a businessman. He's always been shown as pretty ruthless, to a almost psychotic degree, getting what he wants. But in the PS4 game, he's shown to be kind of moved on from the business world and into politics. Because as we start playing this game, we meet Osborn for the first time. He's the mayor of New York City. So he's really kind of dovetailed his business power into political power.
which, if the real world hasn't taught us anything, that it's that, my God, this is probably the worst thing that can happen.
Right. Because that never happens in our real life, right? Like you never have businessmen become very powerful political figures. I mean, that's so unrealistic, right?
Right. Never, ever happen. And thank goodness, because I feel like that would just not work out well.
Something, yeah, go really badly. So, wink. Yeah, knock on wood, that never happens. So, wink. But another important aspect, I mean, you know, as much as you can say about Norman Osborn's, business dealings, his, crooked activities in the business world and political world, he's also a father. That's actually a very important dimension to him. He is the father of Harry Osborn, Peter Parker's best friend. So that's important to know about him. But as the mayor, as we see him in the game, Osborn is about as corrupt as any mayor can be. He, or at least on the surface, like we only see like the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the misuse of his power. Basically, he kind of uses his office as mayor to advance his business interest. You know, it's pretty fundamental and standard political practice, rules and regulations, that if you are in charge of a city, you're not allowed to also be in charge of one of that city's biggest businesses. But, Osborn, he has his ways. He has loopholes where he's able to kind of advance Oscorp's dealings as mayor.
And there's no conflict of interest whatsoever.
None. It's all squeaky clean, totally above the board. Don't look into it. There's no point in looking into it any further than that. He will double cross anyone he has to. He'll go to any lengths he has to achieve his goals. It's all gamesmanship to him. And that's true to the comics character, but we see more and more of him throughout the game. Another important dimension to him is, as CEO of Oscorp, Norman Osborn, throughout much of his scientific career, was obsessed with genetic research. And, there's a lot of reasons someone might be interested in that field of research, but Norman particularly was interested in it because his wife, Emily, was unfortunate enough to have a degenerative disease that eventually took her life.
Yes.
So, as ruthless and unlikable as Norman Osborn can be, he does have some very human motivations for trying to cure certain diseases. He comes at it from the place of a father and a husband, and he tried to do some good with all of the power that he appropriated and maybe misused. But that formula he was working on for many years to cure his wife would eventually become kind of a bioweapon, unfortunately, called Devil's Breath.
The ironic thing is just the one time you don't do something for money, it's still just as bad.
That's true. I didn't think of that. It's one of the few things that Norman did purely selflessly that ended up having kind of the worst impact, kind of blowing up in his face and putting a lot of lives at risk. But again, more on that later. But there is kind of a flip side to the character of Norman Osborn, and that is our old pal Otto Octavius. What's his deal?
Otto Octavius, otherwise known as Doc Ock. Mm-hmm. This was the biggest surprise of this game. Mm-hmm. Because Otto Octavius is like the nicest man in the world.
Yeah.
He dedicates his time and uses his knowledge to help others, like in any way he possibly can. In the game, he runs a sort of like advanced robotics prosthetic company with his singular employee, Peter Parker.
The one person he's able to have on his payroll, the college kid who doesn't know any better. Who is almost as idealistic as Otto. They're two of a kind.
Yeah, like they were. Peter's super inspired by, Otto, and he really wants to help him as much as he can. And I mean, Otto helps Peter, but Otto also helps Spider-Man too. Like, crazy. He designs the suit that you wear in the game after yours gets tattered fighting the Kingpin. Like, without question, he sees Peter working on it. And then he's like, hey, I made some modifications because the way he describes it to Peter is, you're out here helping Spider-Man. I also want to do something too.
he's the friendly science dad. He's just here to help, you know, and that's not what we're used to from those cheesy cartoons and comics where he's just cackling maniacally and wanting to, you know, do bad stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, he's got unlike Norman, he's definitely has a moral compass. Like, there are definitely things that he won't do to help others. Like, he doesn't have that kind of like crazy drive to do whatever. Like, there's always a better solution. And Otto, like Norman's wife, is also suffering from a degenerative disease.
Right.
So his body is failing him. And the only thing that would be left, he's basically going to be left a vegetable and then die after that. And, you know, throughout the game, you know, we see him wanting to further his prosthetics so that he can preserve his body so that he can continue to help other people.
Right.
And, you know, we end up seeing some bad things happen to him. His obsession for, like, you know, preserving his body grow, and then his hatred for Norman kind of drives him over the edge, and he uses that same devil's breath, cure or bioweapon thing that Norman developed to pretty much enact revenge against him. And it's like, it's crazy because these two really are very similar in this game. I mean, they're two opposite ends of the spectrum, and I feel like they cross each other, and they cross each other in such a dark way.
Right. It's like two beams of light kind of running parallel to each other, and then they just start hitting different lenses that refract them in different directions, and they kind of, you know, cross a few times, they run parallel a few times, but eventually they end up going on completely different trajectories. But, you know, let's recap here. Look at what they have in common. And they're both very brilliant men. You know, very, very, you know, smart, very driven, driven to different degrees and with different moral compasses, like you pointed out, but they still have a lot of potential to do good. And kind of the way they try to do good is one of their points of difference. But there's also a deep history that kind of brought them together for many years, many productive years, but eventually drove them apart. You mentioned this kind of obsession with getting revenge on Osborn. And to get into that, we'd have to go backward a little bit before the game actually takes place. There's these events we start to learn about while playing that we get a better idea for their history.
Yeah, so they were pretty much best buds. They went to school together. And I'm pretty sure they were inseparable because people started to refer to them as, what, the O's?
Yeah. Otto and Osborn. Yeah, the O brothers.
And that's honestly what led to the development of Oscorp.
Yeah.
It's actually O's Corp.
Yeah, they had, the sky was the limit for them. And they, you know, I think a lot of that potential was driven by, again, this dedication they both had towards science. They both had this idea that progress is worth the risk and the hard work. The thing that I think eventually drove them apart, or it's one of the factors at least, Norman was always the more cunning and ambitious to a fault of the two.
Yeah.
So that's what really led down the bad road for them.
Yeah, because, like, you know, like we've discussed, Otto has a moral compass. You know, there are lines as a scientist that he won't cross, and there are no lines that Norman won't cross when he becomes obsessed with something. When he has his mind set to solving a problem, like, Norman, like, stay out of his way because you may end up dead.
And that problem that he wanted to solve, that he was obsessed with solving, was the disease that Emily Osborn suffered from, that his wife had. And later on, his son Harry also suffered from. So Norman definitely had a ton of personal stake in this genetic research that he and Otto were working on, this disease they both wanted to cure. But I think Otto maybe was a bit more detached from it, so he was able to follow his compass a little bit more easily. Whereas Norman just, you know, nothing matters but saving my wife and son. So that's what eventually led to the development of Devil's Breath, because there was no stopping Norman, like you pointed out.
Yeah, so he ended up making concentrated coronavirus. But
basically.
But, like, the ambition is, it's crazy because, you know, and I think Abu and I kind of touched on this in the last episode. We talked about Martin Lee's hatred for Norman Osborn and, you know, the things that it made him do. I mean, it comes from the fact that Martin Lee was an unknowing and probably unwilling test subject of Devil's Breath. You know, they were really just, he was a kid who was sick. His parents brought him into Oscorp to do some sort of like, just like some trial treatment, but he wasn't supposed to actually be tested on or anything. They were just going to run tests. They were just going to like kind of do like some screenings. And Norman tested Devil's Breath on this kid, and it ended up giving him powers, which ended up causing him to accidentally kill his family. And like that is what we'll see, you know, that's what we see cause this great rift between those two.
That ends the partnership between Otto and Norman, you know, also obviously creating Mr. Negative and, you know, his sort of whole motivation for what he does later in the game, which you and Abu discussed. But yeah, at that point, Otto and Norman were no longer friends. They kind of went their own different directions. And it also kind of, this incident also kind of shows us the genesis of the major differences between these two men. Like, it was kind of the breaking point where they realized what set them apart. They, you know, they kind of had to look at each other and, you know, re-examine this partnership and this friendship that they had and realize that although they are both scientific minds trying to do good works, Norman had this obsession that we've touched on with curing his wife, and it blinded him to the consequences. And Otto kind of drew the line there and said, I can't work with you anymore. You've lost sight of what's important. But sadly, even though Otto is able to make that judgment then, he later on in the game starts to sort of repeat that obsession when he goes on his quest for revenge that we'll get into.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, but stick around like Spider-Man. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, I'm Abu.
And I'm Leo.
And we're here to tell you about Gom Jabbar, our brand new podcast all about Dune.
Gom Jabbar is your guide to Frank Herbert's massive sci-fi universe. We'll be exploring the themes, philosophies, and characters found in everything from Frank's iconic novels to the adaptations on film and TV.
And here's the thing. We do spoiler-filled deep dives as well as introductory non-spoiler episodes. So there's something for everyone.
You know, look, Dune is complicated. There are crazy words like mentats, like tleilaxu, and of course, Gom Jabbar.
Our goal is to help you understand these words and many more that we can't pronounce.
It's a theme. So find Gom Jabbar on your favorite podcast platform. We can't wait to share our love of the Dune universe, and we'll see you on the Golden Path.
So although they started off, you know, on kind of an even playing field where they're both geniuses, they're both making really amazing things happen, when they split up and go their separate ways, they take very different paths through life. Norman has a lot of kind of privileges, so to speak, that set him at a different pace than Otto is. And, you know, it's a parallel we see in real life. You know, money can buy success in both the scientific field and in politics. It's a sad but true fact that we deal with, and we see that kind of mirrored in the game.
I've always thought about it like, you know, you said that, like, imagine the world where they stayed together. I also felt like, although Norman was ambitious, I kind of feel like they kind of balanced each other out a bit. You know, and being here gave Otto access to resources and money and things that he was able to do. Or, you know, like, things that he could use to help people. And, like, I think Otto was, and to some degree, Norman's, like guiding light and, like, hey, this is the right thing to do. And I think when they separate, you know, they kind of just both go to the, their, like, moral extreme.
Yeah. They're almost, like, at that point, after they separate, they're kind of both missing the better parts of them.
Yeah.
Otto's missing the ambition and the drive that Norman has.
Yeah.
And Norman's missing the moral compass and the kind of common sense voice in the room of Otto. So,
yeah. And I mean, that's definitely prevalent when we see like their first interaction, because like, you know, it's not really set up beforehand that like, okay, we know each other and there's a history. So we first see Norman and Otto interact when Norman pretty much just shows up, Mayor Osborne mode, kicks down the door,
barges in. Yeah.
And he, you know, he pulls funding for Otto's latest project and steals the person he's trying to help. It was like a it was like a total carpet bomb of like being a giant asshat.
It was the biggest flex in New York history. Like, it was just, I'm the mayor, I run this shit, and all this research is mine. You're done. You're shut down. And Otto and Peter were in the process, while this is happening, they were in the process of fitting, I'm guessing, like a veteran who lost a limb in war. And they were fitting him with a new prosthetic arm. And Norman just comes in like, we'll get you an even better one. Just like completely just flexing on everybody, being such a dick. And that's, yeah, like you said, that's the first time we as players see Otto and Norman interact in the game. But I think it's important everyone knows they go way back. Like, this is not the beginning of the Osborne Octavius relationship. Like, there's a lot of history there in just that little moment of Norman kind of flexing his influence, demonstrating his power, and showing Otto, like, you might be smart, but I'm powerful. Like,
right.
And power beats intellect every time, and I'll keep showing you that because of how bitter we both are towards each other.
Right. And like, it's such a massive flex because he is like multi-billionaire mayor, and he takes time out of his day to fuck with this dude who's got like a, like, I'm just staying afloat startup.
Right. He has so many better things to do, but he does that instead. It's like ridiculous.
His one employee is like halfway moved into this office, and it's like, you know what? I'm gonna rock this guy's world real quick. And then he also tries to recruit Peter.
Right. As if shutting down the lab and pulling funding wasn't enough. Like, hey, I'm gonna take your one employee.
And like, that is the funny thing is, like, you know, it's obviously it's a hilarious flex, and like, it's a really shitty moment, but part of me always wondered, is this because, you know, he's trying to take everything from Otto because Otto seemingly, you know, left and didn't help him perfect Devil's Breath, and that basically took everything away from him.
Yeah, because we do find out that Harry, you know, his sickness progressed, and he went in basically into a coma. And, you know, obviously, this is kind of behind the scenes. We as players don't know this yet, but you're right. That's probably a big source of resentment that Norman has toward Otto. Like, you could have stayed and helped me cure Harry, and you didn't.
It's like what we start to see in this moment, you know, once Otto loses the one person that he was able to, that he was going to be able to help and also test his prosthetics, like, Otto just kind of starts to really show that resentment for Norman. And he starts to like really like dive into his anger, and like, he's like shouting, and yeah, like, this is like the first time we see this like really humble man like get pissed. And it's like an explosion of anger. Like, everything that he's dealt with Norman is finally coming all out all at once.
Yeah. Up until this point, it had seemed like Norman was the one holding on to the grudge and going out of his way to make Otto's life difficult. And it was like, oh, Otto's the one who buried the hatchet and moved on. But we find, yeah, you're right, that in that moment we find out Otto never really fully let go of his anger. He still has this vendetta against Norman, and it was just buried. I think it seemed like he tried to sort of bury those, you know, vengeful urges with the good work he did. I'm going to help people. I'm going to perfect these prosthetics and, you know, change lives for the better and stop thinking about how much I, you know, resent Norman. But yeah, when the lab is basically shut down, he loses that last grasp he has on his morality.
And so, like, as Otto's disease kind of gets worse, we see he starts to really get rid of those moral barriers. He starts to take on jobs for things that he would not normally do.
Yeah, starts making compromises here and there. That's how it starts.
Right, for cash, so he can continue on, because, I mean, the ultimate goal is to preserve his body so he can continue to do good for the world. And, you know, that obsession, that obsession with, you know, preserving his body to do good just kind of transforms into just revenge on Norman. It kind of gets like those feelings kind of get mashed together.
Yeah. It sort of reveals this bubbling anger that he had been burying with, you know, the positive impact he was trying to make on the world. As he sort of started to remove those moral barriers and compromise on his ethics, it's almost like you're seeing him realize he's coming to terms with the fact, I've always wanted to take revenge. I was just kind of ignoring it.
And part of that is also due to the chip and the robo arms.
That's true. That's a good point.
But also, this is an interesting thing I was thinking about too. Like, it is because of the chip kind of pushes these feelings out. Like, it pushes this aggression out. That aggression was there, but he also got here because he did the same thing that, like, he's kind of pissed off at Norman for doing.
Right.
He experimented before something was ready, but he just chose to experiment on himself. Like, it obviously didn't make it any better because of the things that he did.
Yeah.
But he experimented on himself. He rushed. He was trying to save that thing that was most important to him, which was his body, so he could continue to work. Just like Norman's thing earlier was, I'm trying to, you know, get this drug tested and ready so I could use it to save my wife, because, like, that's the thing that's most important to me.
Yeah, it's that's one of the instances we see where Otto starts to kind of eclipse Norman, kind of match some of his behaviors. You know, the beams are crossing, my metaphor from earlier. And they're like kind of, they're mirroring each other in a really interesting way.
Oh, yeah, because, like, the chip made him, I think the chip just kind of released his inhibitions to, like, do something like this, but that anger was always there, because I mean, otherwise it's like it was super directed at at Norman. And it's also funny because he was still kind of doing good with, like, the Sinister Six. He recruited those guys because he was like, if you do this for me, I can help you. Like, he was able to help Rhino remove his armor when, like, the government couldn't do that. He was gonna help Vulture, like, it was going to treat his, like, spinal cancer that he got from the suit.
Yeah.
He was still doing good. He was just doing good in exchange for bad stuff, which is not that good.
It was a twisted form of good deeds where it was, like, still, like, a nugget of, you know, positivity in there, but still, like, dude, look at what you're doing. And this is, I think, the most important point for me in this episode, is just that this all demonstrates how, after years of trying to not be like Norman, of trying to be sort of the yin to Norman's yang, so to speak, Otto has completely matched. Like, he's met Norman at the level of evil and cruelty and ruthlessness, and then pushed past it. Like, he not only matched it, he surpassed it. And it's almost like, yeah, you start the game thinking Otto's the underdog. He's the good guy. Norman's the villain coming in here, crashing the show, just being the generic, stereotypical bad guy. But then they completely shift places, and you kind of start to see Norman as the victim. Like, hey, he was just trying to cure his family, save them from this disease. But and Otto's the bully all of a sudden. It's this really dramatic and almost poetic reversal of roles. And I think that's a beautiful thing this game pulled off.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it goes back to the quote, you know, the excessive increase of anything causes a reaction in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Norman pushes Otto so far that Otto becomes a villain himself, basically.
Yeah.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Yeah, and luckily there was one man who was willing and able to put on that blue and red suit and go out there and save the city at great personal risk and personal cost. And, you know, shout out to that brave man, Sam Raimi.
Yes. You want to know why Spider-Man didn't get sick?
Why is that?
Because he wore a mask.
And that's the takeaway, folks. Cover your damn face when you're outside. It's not a joke.